We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and our guests from the National Bio and Agri-Defense Facility, otherwise known as NBAF, are joining us here this morning. Dave, do we have a caller? Okay. Back to the phone lines here with another caller here. Good morning. You're on In Focus with our NBAF officials.
Yeah, I've got a question for Patrick, interested in the operations division. How many departments are in there, and how many employees does he have?
All right.
Under my department, there's three different areas. There's the SHEM, Safety, Health, Environmental Management. There's training procedures, and there's web support services. And IT falls in under there, but they're really like a tangent. And there's about 81 people in the group total. Does that help?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. And here we're speaking with Patrick Moylan, NBAF Operations Director, as well as our regular guests, Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF Coordinator, and Katie Pulaski, NBAF Communications Director. And we'll take phone calls up till 9:30 here at 785-537-1350. If you've got a question or a concern, we'll try to get those answered here. Katie, I'll go to you next. How many people have moved to the surrounding community to work at NBAF so far?
Yeah, good question, Brandon. And we do get that question a lot. We do have some updated statistics that we can share. So periodically, we send a voluntary internal demographic survey to our staff as new employees come on board. And that's just to help us get a feel for what our team looks like as a whole. You know, how many folks are moving here? You know, what are their backgrounds? And so the last set of survey data was updated in April, and we have more than 200 responses within that. So based on that data, about 21% of NBAF employees say they've moved to Kansas for their current position. Since the science hasn't moved yet, that's just going to be the operations position. So Patrick has given some examples of those. But like Patrick, we still have had a few people move from Plum Island to NBAF already to assist with operations and even to assist with the science transition. So also looking at that data, several of our employees are from Kansas or have lived here for many years as well. I think I mentioned before that job opportunities is a main factor that brought my husband and I back to Manhattan about 11 or 12 years ago. And then about 48% of our employees say they live in Manhattan now, but we do have people working at NBAF who live in 26 different cities from across the region. And so just as a reminder for folks out there listening, we still have about 40 to 50 operations positions to hire, and then certainly the science will be coming in the next couple of years. So please keep watching usajobs.gov for open positions, and you can also follow us on Twitter or LinkedIn.
All right, very good. I imagine, Katie, in the operations side of things, anybody who's in military, if they're transitioning out, this might be a good opportunity for someone like that.
Yeah, absolutely, Brandon. And we have in that demographic survey, we also asked folks if they have any, you know, if they're a veteran, and about 44% of our team members say they're veterans, so just under half. But yeah, you know, we have, as Patrick mentioned, we have a lab support services group that includes transshipping, which is, you know, supply type position. Certainly our safety, health, and environmental management is something that you'll see in the military. Security is a big one as well. So lots of positions that transfer really well.
All right, very good. Well, Dr. Burton, with such a diverse team, how are you merging that all into one culture?
From day one, Brandon, when we began our hiring effort, we've really focused on developing that culture of one NBAF, both here in Manhattan and then also between Manhattan and the Plum Island folks. It's been a while since we've talked about it on this program, but at NBAF, we have two agencies within USDA that work together, the Agricultural Research Service, or ARS, and the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS. So recognizing, you know, that each of those agencies have their own mission and reporting pathways, but here at NBAF, we've really always focused on working together as one team with one mission, and that's protect the health, safety, and welfare of our livestock, food supply, and public health. So that being said, it's definitely been a challenge with all of us being on maximum telework since March of 2020. And with our planning for our phase transition in the MBAF facility, we hope to begin moving personnel back into the workplace in the fairly near future. So that in itself will help. We're also implementing some team building programs to assist with some of the ways that our workforce will need to adapt as we begin to move from maximum telework back into that office setting. It's been a challenge continuing that teamwork, but all of the MBAF employees have done a great job throughout the pandemic. And, you know, actually since March of 2020, we've onboarded over 140 new team members. So that's over half of our current 230 operational employees total here in Manhattan. So many of our employees really haven't met a majority of their colleagues face-to-face, but our supervisors have really stepped up and leadership and have done a great job, you know, welcoming those new employees and keeping them engaged as members of the MBAF team, and everybody's looking forward to the opportunity, hopefully here in the very near future, to where we'll have more chances to get together face-to-face.
Who ultimately will have, I guess, the final say in that? Will that be like the head of the USDA, or that come all the way from the top there?
Yeah, that's a good question, Brandon. But yes, it'll be a departmental directive on when we can start moving forward with that. We're making plans to be ready, but we haven't gotten to go ahead to begin the move yet.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of focus on NBAF starting, but what is happening to the science as it transitions?
A lot going on there, too. As I mentioned, with the ongoing teamwork efforts here in Manhattan, we're also working hard to develop that same level of collaboration with our scientific staff who will move from Plum Island to Manhattan when the NBAF facility is fully operational, currently projected for around 2023. On both the ARS and APHIS sides, we'll be moving those transboundary animal disease research programs and the diagnostic capabilities of the FADL, or the Foreign Animal Disease Diagnostic Laboratory, as well as the two vaccine banks that Dr. Barnaby visited about last month to Manhattan. But the research and diagnostic functions are and will continue on Plum Island until they're transferred here to Manhattan. So in addition to the preparations for the move to Manhattan, along with the ongoing research and diagnostic capabilities, we're continuing to hire the leads for the expanded research that's going to go on here at MBAF in Manhattan. So we've got, it's called FABIDRU, the Foreign Arthropod-Borne Animal Disease Research Unit, ZEDRU, the Zoonotic and Emerging Disease Research Unit. Our current research unit is the Foreign Animal Disease Research Unit, or FADRU, and then our Biologic Development Module Director. So we're still, you know, working towards and hiring the leadership and team members within those research areas. But one thing that has been a real plus of working with the Plum Island team is these ongoing research programs actually create some tremendous training opportunities for our MBAF staff. Probably the best example right now is that our animal resource unit, animal caretakers that will work here at MBAF, have the opportunity to go to Plum Island in the near future to assist with ongoing research and to get some important hands-on experience with handling animals within a containment environment. So that's going to be a really important and exciting opportunity for our people here in Manhattan to be able to actually go work in containment before we're operational here. So a lot of those things are being developed and coming to fruition right now.
Okay. A lot of acronyms. How do you keep them all straight?
That's been a real experience for me, for sure.
Well, Katie, how does NBAF aim to communicate about the science?
Yeah, communicating the science to the public is really going to be a big part of what our team, our communications team, does once the USDA science mission transfers from Plum Island to NBAF. So until then, kind of like what Dr. Burton was saying, you know, we're doing a lot of partnering, talking with partner agencies, and starting to host discussions and events to get scientists, industry, university partners, and even the public excited about the science we'll be able to do at MBAF. One really good example, we just USDA just hosted a virtual MBASS scientific symposium in April. And since it was virtual, all those seminars were recorded and are available on the USDA Agricultural Research Services, that's ARES, YouTube page. And so we had 5 mornings of panels and discussion on the importance of animal disease science, such as next generation vaccines and diagnostics, as well as emergency response and research. We actually had over 1,000 participants from 39 different countries and 48 different states. You know, they're coming from over 56 different universities, international government agencies, animal health, bioscience and biotechnology companies, and even defense organizations and other state agencies. So that's just a great example of yet another way we're trying to communicate some of that science, have those dialogues now about some of the capabilities MBASS will have. And of course, we plan to continue our outreach, partnerships, social media, and media engagement as much as possible now and then once we transition that science. So I think I've mentioned before, we're really lucky to be in a position to have a communications team, and we like to stay busy. So,
yeah. Well, and communication is such an important thing, especially with NBAF. There's so many things out there that people can look up on the internet. Not all of it's true. And so knowing where to get the accurate information is always so important for everybody, because they do have concerns and they want to know what's going on. And that's why programs like these are so helpful.
Yeah, that's such a great point, Brandon. And again, it's very important for us at USDA and MBASS to maintain transparency with the community and within the agriculture industry. So again, having these platforms and the ability to, like you said, get the accurate information out there to help address those concerns is really important to us.
All right. Well, we're about out of time. Patrick Moylan, again, I want to thank you for being part of our show here this morning, and hope you enjoy Manhattan and your role there at NBAF.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. And thank you, Katie. Thank you, Dr. Burton, for joining us here, and we'll talk again next month.
Thanks, Brandon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it as always.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. We'll have more in focus after this on News Radio KMAN.